You're listening to the Action Figure Blues podcast, episode number 357, brought to you by Apple Music, Audible, and actionfigureblues.com. I'm Scott.
And I'm Eddie. Tonight, our toys of the week are the 1000 Toys 1/12 scale Hellboy action figure and the DC Collectibles DC Essentials Wave Wonder Woman, Cheetah, Supergirl, and Cyborg Superman.
Eddie, my podcast person, how are you?
I'm good. It's been too long since we chatted.
It sure has. I just wanted to differentiate there between podcast person and pod person, because obviously it would not. But, you know, I haven't spoken to you for that long. You could have been replaced by a pod person.
Yes, but it is me talking to you with my human mouth, as humans do.
How have you been, my friend?
Getting to the end of another school holidays, which is always crazy time period with me, but... you went around for it, but I told a story which I won't repeat for our wonderful listeners who have probably heard me wax on about it. But the short story was Amazon accidentally sent me a Nintendo Switch, which I managed to swap for a PlayStation 4. So for the first time in my life, I have all the generations of a video game console, and it meant that as a massive Marvel fan, I could finally play the new Spider-Man. Well, it's about a year old now, but the Spider-Man video game, and that's fantastic. So I have been living in a fantasy world of my favorite city in the world, New York, but getting to run around it Marvel style and discover the Baxter Building and the Sanctum Sanctorum and Alias Investigations, and they've just done a wonderful job recreating Marvel's New York in that game. And yeah, so the real world's a bit, but so video game world's where I'm enjoying my time.
Beautiful. So just like out of the blue accidentally sent you, or in place of something else?
Yeah, like I was expecting an order of Multiverse Shazam figures, and I opened the box and it was a Nintendo Switch, and I was like, well, this isn't my order. I did the right thing. I called them up and let them know, and the Amazon people were very nonchalant and like, well, we stuffed up. We sent the wrong order, but it's too much effort to get like a courier to you to swap it over and send it through. And that's one of our biggest sellers, so we got plenty in stock. So we'll just send a new Switch to, they were able to work out by what was in the box whose actual order it was, even though it was my name on the box. But they were able to work out who it was and just send a new one through, which someone pointed out to me is probably easier for them to just, because the distribution centers here in Melbourne, I'm assuming that person must have been another Melbourne person, and, you know, they can ship in 12 hours, so they could probably send the person a new one longer than it would take to contact them and be like, oh, we sent it to the wrong place, but we're going back to collect it and da-da-da. But yeah, the Amazon's such a big company that they're apparently able to just go, oh, it's just a $400 video game console. Just keep that and you can run through. But I already had one, so I took it to the local game store and was able to just swap it.
I had a experience of getting something a little while ago. We ordered like a lounge suite, and it was a modular thing, and it was a really typical, like, okay, it's going to be delivered on this day, but we can't tell you when, so you just need to be there all day kind of thing, and, you know, wait until the last minute. And I'd actually had to duck out, and my wife received it, and all the pieces were all kind of like, you know, plastic wrap sort of thing, so we just got them all in. I came home and we unwrapped them and put them together, and then I was like, oh, there's like an extra piece, an extra chaise. Like, you know, that it was like a, you know, modular thing with a chaise on the end. I was like, oh, they gave us two chaises. Like, uh-oh. So I called them the next day and said, hi, I'm just letting you know this. And first of all, she was like, oh, wow, thank you so much. Thank you. Like, who would do that? Thank you for being so honest, etc. I was like, no problem. And then she was like, now, we'll pick it up tomorrow, but we can't tell you what time. You'll just need to be there all day. And I went, incorrect. No, no, no. I'm leaving at 10 tomorrow. And if you're not here by then, it'll be out on the doorstep. I'm giving you back your thing instead of stealing it. You can come at the time that suits me. so funny. speaking of being honest, I did something a little while ago where somebody gave me too much change, and I can't like possibly $20 or pay maybe or didn't charge me for something like nearly $20, and I walked out with it. And then I went back in and said, look, I'm really sorry. You forgot to charge me for this. And they were like, what kind of idiot comes back and pays an extra $20? And I was like, an honest one? I don't know what kind of...
what kind of idiot doesn't charge the $20 item at the register?
But in the end, I was like, I'm sorry? it was like such a weird anyway.
Yeah, I always struggle with that because I always think, a news program like A Current Affair or Today Tonight is like filming you. Like it's one of those how honest are Australians just getting viewed. So I was at a supermarket today at the self-service checkout. And there was like a dollar coin in the coin tray, and I had to give it to the staff member and being like, oh, someone's left a dollar just in. Okay, like I didn't want to take it and then end up on the 6:30 report or something.
Now, see, when I do that, I think maybe someone's going to, hop out of the corner and say, ah, thank you so much. We were trying to find an honest person, and now you get $1 million. Like, so our delusions of grandeur are different but similar.
Yeah, mine's always pessimistic. Mine's what made you think that dollar was yours?
That's right. I get it. So, outside of, getting free things, what's been happening in the world of Eddie?
Hey, sorry, you disappeared for a second there. Did you get that?
I was right here the whole time. But what was the last thing you said?
Nothing. I had stopped. Speaking, and then it just went silent for a bit.
Yeah. So I'll count in and tell you what I said. Okay, here we go. In 5, 4, 3. So apart from receiving free things, what's been happening in the world of Eddie?
Well, collection-wise, I weirdly found in a op shop here amongst a bunch of sort of Star Wars Force Awaken figures and that, a NECA Predator figure for $2.50. Which was a fairly recent release one too from the new film. So that was a nice surprise. And it's also clearly the end of the financial year because I'm just getting waves of figures shipped to me like crazy. So I just got the X-Force and vintage Marvel Legends figures through, as well as the Spider-Man Homecoming waves. And yeah, there's a lot hitting.
That is so cool. I have been away from home for half work, half family holiday for a couple of weeks. And in that time, a couple of things that I thought were going to arrive before I left, I now have arrived at the post office. So I'm waiting on definitely like a wave and a half of Marvel Legends and also the Martian Manhunter Tweeter Head statue from the Superpowers collection, which I cannot wait for. So besides seeing my family when I go back, that...
Oh, I've got a question for you because we haven't had a chance to talk about this, but it is something that has come up on the show where you've been disappointed that your favorite DC superhero group doesn't even have a comic. And now we are seeing a return of the Legion of Superheroes. Not only are they returning, but written by Brian Michael Bendis and Sook on art. It's getting an all-star launch treatment. How are you feeling about this news?
Have you seen any of his designs?
Yeah, I like Sook. Are you going to have Sook about Sook?
The way that they kind of promoed it, where they showed some character designs and, of course, some of the different, et cetera, it obviously, from the traditionalists, gets a very bad rap. I have enjoyed and embraced every incarnation of the Legion because I just like the concept and the characters. And I'm not a giant Bendis lover. Like, not a dislike her, but I'm not that kind of person that's like, oh, wow, that'll be great, or, oh, it'll be terrible. But I have not loved the original character designs that they've shown. But then today I saw a piece of art that he'd done which had Superboy in the middle kind of receiving his flight ring with all the other characters kind of celebrating around it. And I was like, you know what? It looks totally different, but that is the Legion. So I'm excited. I'll definitely be buying it and, you know, can't wait. And I think that my main fear about somebody anytime they restart the book is that they'll cut it down and just focus on a smaller group. I think that, you know, you can see from what they've done already that that's not the case with this, and that they're really going to honor the cast. Some of the designs look different. Some of them have different color skin. Shock, horror. Don't you think that maybe in the 30th or 31st or 2nd century that they probably wouldn't all have kind of the skin tones that we're used to now? So, although Phantom Girl looks like, and that's where I'm like, oh. So we'll see. If we finally get a Phantom Girl action figure and it's this new design, I will.
Well, I do recommend there's a podcast called Word Balloon where they had a big in-depth interview with Bendis about it. And it definitely sounds like, I mean, he's a 70s comics kid anyway, like most of the stuff that he pulls, like Luke Cage and all that. It's sort of his wheelhouse, and that was sort of the big time for Legion, is that late 70s, yes, early 80s stuff. It definitely sounds like he's been doing his homework and living in the world. He's trying to have it so he knows every Legion and their real name and their planet name and all that off the top of his head. And he talks about how agonizing that sort of is to try and become a absolute expert in every single character that exists, and it's the largest cast he's ever written. So it should be interesting.
Oh, absolutely. Look, I think that we are our own worst enemy, the kind of diehard fans of things, because one of the reasons why you love something is because had a really positive experience. And so whatever your concept of my Legion of Superheroes, my X-Men, my Superman, it's all really closely bound to the time, I think, when you first discovered it and fell in love with it. And so nothing ever compares to that. But the way that I look at stuff like this, the same as different incarnations of characters, it's not, none of it is undoing or replacing the stories and versions that I loved. I can go back and read them at any time. And in the same way that somebody could, we could put on a production of Romeo and Juliet and set it in space. That doesn't change the original source. It's an interpretation. And so I think seeing a Bendis interpretation of Legion is really exciting. The challenge, of course, with anything like that is that you need to find that balance of exciting people about the property that have never engaged with it before and not alienating the core base, because that's the kind of balance. So see how we go. I had to jump out of one of the lean Facebook groups that I was in, really just a bunch of old guys going, I hate change and characters that don't have my... And it was like, it's that kind of group. Radio. Mm. Bye. Very exciting, though. I'm excited.
Yeah.
So we have been waiting to review a couple of things that we both happened to buy, one of which is the latest wave of the DC Essentials that we always review together, and then the other is something really groovy that I wasn't planning to buy that was an impulse buy that we're going to talk about next. So let's take a break, and then let's talk about those things.
Yay!
Luke Skywalker handles his saber well, Ben Kenobi.
You should know, Yoda.
Yes, I've been the Jedi Master for 800 years.
Yoda and other action figures each sold separately.
Beep, 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 beep.
It's okay, R2-D2. I've got my laser pistol.
Hold it, Luke. They're afraid of your snake, Yoda. Yeah.
You have nothing to fear. The Force is all around us.
Yoda and other action figures each sold separately. From Star Wars, the Empire Strikes Back collection. From Kenner.
Well, sometimes you plan to buy things and you pre-order them and you wait for them and they finally come. And other times you kind of stumble across them and decide that you absolutely have to have them, even though you weren't planning on it. And this first review that Eddie and I are doing together falls into that category for me. And we're talking about the 1,112 scale Hellboy. Gosh, that's not to be confused with the Mezco 112 collector.
No.
No.
Which is a Hellboy coming.
There is a Hellboy coming. And when I got this from the wonderful secret headquarters of Victoria, and when I, because I always basically go in and I'm like, so what drugs have you got today? Yeah. And they're like, oh, we got the 112 Hellboy. And I was like halfway through buying it when I realized it wasn't the Mezco one. And then I'm like, oh, I don't care. This is amazing. Like, I'm buying it anyway. But Eddie, I feel like you're going to be more knowledgeable about 1,000 toys and this figure in general. So why don't you kind of do the intro of what we're
talking about? Yeah, so 1,000 toys, that aspect of it, I'm not overly familiar with. They are a company that has existed. They're somehow connected to Sentinel, I believe, that were doing like the metallic Iron Man figures a couple of years ago that were coming out. And they've sort of been known. They've got another thing that's like a realistic body type one, not in terms of anatomically correct, but you know, as we're kind of going to get in with the actual figure itself, where it's like articulation with sort of a plastic layer over the top, but it was sort of more generic characters. And there's a couple of almost like kind of the 3A pop robot type ones. But they're not anything that really made a splash. Like, most of this is stuff I found out after discovering that they got the ability to make Hellboy figures, which is a partnership with Dark Horse Comics directly. So in the States, you could actually order through the Dark Horse website an exclusive version of this figure that also had horns and the Excalibur sword. And 1,000 Toys also, through that deal, has the right to sell it in foreign markets, a basic version of the figure, which I'm assuming is the one that both of us have. I'm assuming Secret Headquarters didn't get the Dark Horse exclusive with the sword and the horns, because at the moment of recording this, I actually haven't heard of anyone acquiring that version.
I mean, that it's interesting. I'm not 100% sure about the release time on.
Yeah, I would have thought that they'd be, you know, fairly close together with the international release coming out, that Dark Horse would be getting their versions and shipping that out. But, yeah, I'm yet to see any pictures of anyone that has that version, and you know, I guess those horns and that sort of, you know, extra duty to create and sculpt. But, yeah, he was announced probably about a year ago. To receiving it, and he definitely looks fantastic. He's been drawing a lot of comparison because Mezco did do a fantastic job, and I actually did many episodes ago a history of the Mezco Hellboy toy line, and for the early 2000s, their figure sculpting of really capturing the Mike Mignola design of Hellboy, which for those that don't know, the Hellboy comic is both written and drawn by one of my personal favorites, Mike Mignola, who just has this wonderful, unique style where you can look at these pages and they look like they've got all this great grand detail and going up into the cathedrals of a church and all the sculpted gargoyles and statues. But when you really sit down and look at what he's done, it's really simple line work with a lot of shadow interplay. And so he's really only drawn a handful of lines and then colored a lot of it in black. But it just gives you the impression that there's all this detail underneath. And it's fantastic. I just don't know how his mind works and he does it. But he's able to create these great grand pages with just very few lines, and so it's a very unique style, and Mezco did a wonderful job of turning it into a 3D realized version, and that's really kind of what 1,000 Toys have done here. They've really taken the character off the page and given us a plastic version of it.
Let's talk packaging for a moment. Obviously, Mezco has set the, I guess, standard, as it were, for what we expect in this line in terms of the size and kind of frame of box, tray, etc. And this is like a, to me, like a budget version of that. It's definitely not the same quality in terms of sturdiness, etc., as the Mezco boxes, but you do get a, you know, an outer box with some artwork on one side and then photography of the figure on the other. The inside, then, if you love the Dance of 3000 trays that you do when you do Mezco, you'll be disappointed here because there's just one tray and one lid, which actually is adequate. in terms of, I guess, the kit out, which we'll talk about accessories in more detail, there's no stand and no plastic bag that, you know, that you expect with Mezco. So there's no need for that next bottom tray, as it were. Your thoughts on packaging?
I do find it interesting because the new piece of Mike Mignola artwork on the front is just gorgeous Hellboy by him. He's Hellboy's papa, so it's going to look fantastic. And there's that sort of lovely die cut of the BPRD symbol over it. But then there's no real wording or signage or even Japanese characters anywhere on the box. You get a little bit of the 1000 toy symbol down the bottom on the photo picture of the figure on the back, but everything else is just kind of blank imaging on the slipcover. And this is where, like, I don't really feel that it's super cheap of a design, but I wouldn't blame anyone for sort of picking this up and thinking like, oh, is this maybe the bootleg version of it where they've kind of taken all the writing off and haven't given any copyright details, or, you know, sometimes how bootlegs do that.
Yeah,
a bit. It kind of gives me that a bit of a feel. Like it's a very, very blank canvas in terms of working. Like if you were to pick this box up in a store, you might not even realize until you turn it to the back what you've actually got in your hands and what's in this box, kind of thing. But once you take the slip cover off, I actually really like the design of the box on the inside here, where you have black pretty much 9/10 of the way up, and then you've got a little bit of coloring on the top. And I like this because this is very similar to how the Hellboy trades actually look. So you could slide this onto your bookshelf, the inner box, and it would actually fit in fairly well with your Hellboy collected edition comics there. So this is where I'm really feeling the Dark Horse comics influence on the figure, particularly like it's the Hellboy comic font here, where you've got the Hellboy in the red and the yellow, and even the credits down the back, which we should mention are very similar to how they list the credits in the comics page on the inside cover. And I do always like it when they do give credits on our figures. So we have director Yuta Toabari, sculptor Hive Studios, engineering design by Yuki Nakamura, and he's from Sentinel itself, so it looks like they are connected. The painter is Yoji Hakakawa, who's also from Sentinel, and costume production design by Naoto Yoshida from Cartridge Case. And then we get Dark Horse 1000 toys and the copyright for Mike Mignola 2019.
Very good. Well pronounced as well. To my untrained ear, that was great.
I channeled Adam for that one.
Oh, well done. Well done. The so if we get to the figure itself and what it is packed. Now, we, as Eddie said, we are talking about the standard version here, not the exclusive, so we swap out head or extra horns. But we do have some swap-out pieces when it – oh, wait, sorry. We do have a swap-out. I take it back. But we,
it's the sword we're missing.
Yes, it's the sword we're missing, and then the horns. I have to say that because I bought this on spec and I was not aware of the exclusive, you know, I did a little bit of research. I couldn't for the life of me understand why the swap out head had, you know, holes in the head, and you had to actually move his, you know, little head rocks or whatever they are from one to the other. I was like, that's a bit cheap, isn't it? They only included one of those.
Now, seems now like it would be more cost expensive to make than to actually.
Exactly. I was like, why is this a thing? I don't understand. So, but interesting. So we do get a swap out head. We have kind of blankish face and then exposed teeth face.
Grimace face.
Grimace. Okay, grimace. Exposed teeth, a bit more descriptive, but grimace. And then we also have swap out hands. I feel like you're going to explain the Hellboy hands better than I will.
You've got
gigantic thing.
He only comes with swappable hands for his left hand because obviously his right hand is the right hand of Doom. But the swappable hands, you have a fisted hand, you have a grabby hand, you have a relaxed hand, and you have a trigger hand for his pistol, which some people call the Good Samaritan, but that's only the movie version. So this one, it's just a gun version. And the gun also has a holster that you can clip into his belt. And technically it's an accessory, but it's really part of the figure. You've also got his tail that will plug into his butt.
with some degree of difficulty.
Yeah. Well, I actually had it more with the gun holster. That was the one I had the most trouble plugging in because it is just a little rubber piece on his belt there. And also, I should mention, this guy doesn't come with any instruction booklet, or at least my version didn't. So the thing that I actually took ages to work out and probably got close to potentially breaking the figure, since we're talking about accessories, is he's got a mixed media trench coat on. And now normally a mixed media trench coat on a figure, particularly a big baggy one like this, you could just slide off the arms and take off. But he's got the huge monstrous right hand of Doom, and the way that the trench coat's sewn, that sleeve isn't coming out over the arm. So I was trying to figure out a way to pop the right hand of Doom off his arm so I could take that off, and it is connected in by a ball joint, so I was like, oh, surely there's a way in there in which I can pop that off and slide the sleeve off, and it just wasn't coming off because it's connected to a very interesting kind of elbow joint there, so you can get some articulation going on the right hand of Doom, so to make it double jointed. And I really struggled to figure out what was going on here, and maybe it doesn't come off, but there's all these pictures where he does have it off, so what's going on? And eventually I worked out, when I swapped his head over, I was like, oh, hang on, and sort of pulled the shoulders back on the trench coat and had a look at his arm joints. But you actually pop his arm off at the shoulders and slide the arm out of the jacket.
Oh, fancy
that. And that allows you to take the jacket off, which is fine and it works well, but it would have been nice if there was an instruction in the box to actually tell you this, because it's very hard to work out on a character that's wearing the trench coat already that, oh, his arms are swappable. You can just remove it at the arm joint.
Yeah, I think a tiny little instruction sheet would not have gone astray here. I agree. You know, the same with, I think whenever there's kind of swapping parts and you know, things that have to be moved from one piece to the other, like headpieces, you know, etc., just a little bit of a guide does not go as a minor complaint. Now the right hand of Doom and the way that I'm a little bit confused about, just I guess in terms of whether or not this is artist's interpretation or whether this is a really adequate representation of the right.
I actually think it's both. This is something I have a very love-hate relationship with. The closest thing I'm going to compare it to is a Revoltech action figure. And that is basically what he has. Is it's almost like you have a Metzco 112 figure, and then you get halfway down his arm and it turns into a Revoltech figure, which for those of you that haven't listened to reviews when we've talked about Revoltech figures, they can be absolutely wonderful and you can get some amazing pose out of them, posing posability out of them, but you've kind of got to be looking at it from the right angle. And if you sort of turn it around a little bit, all of a sudden it's kind of a, oh, what's going on there? What's with that? Particularly for me, the biggest gripes I have is you can see the metal pins that run in the fingers and the weird kind of ball, sort of the dumbbell ball joints in his thumbs to give him that superposable thumb. And from certain angles, it works really well because this is how the hand does look, particularly in the comics. It is much more kind of these big just square blocks. It is unfortunate that just because of the way that the articulation works, particularly the middle and the sort of the middle three joints have that little extra square in the middle, where generally in the comic that would just be sort of three squares down. But particularly the end tips of the fingers really look like how it should kind of look there. So it would be something that would be near impossible to articulate and keep looking 100%. But if you do get it where they are sort of fully crunched down or fully spread out, you can get some good looking images, particularly from the top. When looking from underneath, you sort of start to see all the workings of the hand and how it is so articulated, and that ruins it a bit. So it is mixed. I actually do love the amount of posing and character elements you can get going on it with the fingers. So you can have him doing sort of the Shooter McGavin pointer fingers. You can have him creating a fist. You can have him sticking his pinky out while he's holding a little teacup. You can get lots of great character posing going on with the hand, but not every version's going to look good from the right angle.
Yeah, when I first looked at it, I was like, oh, it looks like this amazing sculpt, and then the right hand you're doing looks like it's made out of Lego. You know, like the and definitely in terms of how I've always kind of envisioned it with a the really smooth finish on the hand doesn't really gel with you know, what we normally see that has kind of more of a rocky sort of feel and texture to it. So it is a bit of a I think, you know, you're stuck in terms of how do you deliver that look and also deliver the level of articulation? Because the pro of it is that it is highly articulated. You can do stuff with it. You know, a lot of other, a number of other Hellboy action figures have not really achieved that. Either it's been just a fixed piece or it's had some kind of limited, but this is articulated kind of down to the knuckles, all the kind of, you know, bones, quote unquote, in the figure. But
it is one I would kind of have liked if it was swappable as well, and maybe they gave us just a relaxed and a fist version. So it's like, okay, here's an articulated version if you want to do some posing with it. But if you just want to have a neutral one or a fist version, you've also got that option too, which could have easily been achieved with the hand being on a ball joint. And they've obviously shown that they can do other swappable parts, but it could be something for a third party to look at.
Well, that's true.
Looking for good third party print options. In terms of color for the comic book version, I actually think this color suits it well because generally the comic version's right hand does blend in with the rest of his red, which we should also talk about. The other deal breaker with this guy that for me is both love and hate, which is a bit of an ongoing theme with this figure for me is his chest. So his chest, he does have like ab joints. You can hear it's got a little bit of a ratchet in. You can hear me clicking it. But what I was surprised to find when I actually took him out of the packet is he's got a skeleton underneath, sort of a rubber bodysuit. And that scares me a little bit just in terms of preserving the figure over time. Anytime I have soft rubber, I do get very scared. So I haven't had him posed very long in any version where it's kind of crunching up the soft rubber or anything like that, because I'm worried about it drying out or cracking or moving in such a way. And it does feel like it's not thin plastic. There is a little bit of thickness.
That to me was a big surprise. And I don't quite understand.
Yeah. It's I didn't really feel like, I mean, Hellboy's never really been a figure that I really needed waist articulation in terms of crunch. Even then you could hide it quite well. Like you have sort of the side of his hips there. You could have easily hit a little bit of a ab crunch in there and kind of been done with it type thing. But yeah, it is weird. It does look good when he does have the trench coat off. So there's actually a little bit of a similar thing going on with his upper arms where there's an underneath skeleton and then sort of this soft rubber that goes over the top. And that means his shoulders lap over the body part of the shoulders. So it does look quite well and have it all sort of blends together. It's not like the arms are a different color red or pieces like that. Ben would be quite happy. It does blend in fairly nicely. But yeah, it is always a concern for me, soft rubber.
Yeah, I understand. I think that I'm, you know, it will be, it is an issue, I think, in terms of just the potential wear, etc. And I don't understand why they felt they needed to do it. I really don't.
I think this is kind of what the company does. I think this is kind of their gimmicky side of ones to stand out. It reminds me a lot of, if anyone wants a bit of an idea of what the soft rubber feels like, it's very Street Sharkish. If you ever played around with any of those.
Yeah, no, I get it. Okay, I get it. Unexpected. It looks fantastic, you know, like, and it is, I think that, you know, the thing that kind of grabbed me about it was the head sculpt. I do think the color, as you said as well, is like a really great color choice for the comic representation of it. The trench coat is, you know, workable. It is, I wouldn't say that it is the most detailed kind of soft good I've ever seen, but it does the job. The other things that I really love about this are the sculpt work on his shorts is actually really cool. This, you know, and the paint as well. Mm-hmm. His belt is fantastic. So much detail on it, while the holster a bit of a pain to attach, and even his cross on the attach the belt as well is a piece and looks fantastic, and those are all great details. And
you finished your thought. So I was going to say, in speaking of color, one of the things I absolutely love about the figure is the yellow for his eyes is just gorgeously done. It's sort of a very shiny finish where everything else is matte on him, and it really makes his yellow eyes pop, and that really conveys Hellboy to me, is those sort of sunken but expressive yellow eyes just coming out of the shadows. So even if you're placing him in the dark, they really shine out, and that's very Mike Mignola to me. And most of Mike's Hellboy stuff's been done with the probably one of the few colorists in comics that people can name, and that's Dave Stewart. And that really captures the color choices that Dave Stewart would choose very, very nicely.
Anything else to mention about this bad boy before we
move on? I should mention the The trench coat does have wiring in its lining, so you can get a lot of posability out of the trench coat as well. And really, that's where the fun of this figure lies, is posing him around. I put a whole bunch of pics up, both on our Facebook page and our community group page, when I first got this guy, because he is a hell of fun to pick up and pose around in and try out a few different spots and really get some of those iconic Hellboy Mike Mignola poses going. But since then, I've kind of just had him sitting in his tray, in his box, because of the rubber bodysuit, I am still scared about having him out exposed to the elements too long.
Yes. Yeah, I'm undecided about whether or not I go for this, because... whether or not I stick with this or do Mezco if they do a comic version, partly because, of that. This is great fun. Not cheap, definitely more expensive than a standard 112 collective figure, but I suppose the run is smaller, et cetera. So I get that. But super fun.
Oh, so because I got mine, I think, because this is it. The pricing on him does vary a great deal from what I've seen. I managed to get mine through Hobby Link Japan, and he was kind of under that sort of 150-ish sort of area. Okay.
I paid a bit more than
so
that,
he was in line with it. But, yeah, it's he seemed to move pretty quick. At that price, so I don't know if there might have been a mistake there on that one, because I have seen him go like certain comic stores and that I've seen him upwards of $400, but sometimes that's a bit like, it's the pricing is all over the map on this guy. That's something we haven't mentioned, so if you are looking, don't necessarily go with the first option available. Maybe check around with Ty, and I would actually put him, this was a figure that I thought was going to be a home run, and while I do really like him, I think he's at more, not so much in say a Hot Toys camp where you're just like, oh, he's brilliant, look at that. He's actually more in the Revoltech camp, where it's like, oh, it's he's going to be divisive depending on how you feel about certain aspects. So if you can, I do recommend picking up one and sort of playing around and having a feel of it first before potentially laying down a couple of hundred clams on him.
Your opinions are going to vary greatly. But good fun, and no regrets on my part. And I look forward to getting other thoughts.
Abe Sapien.
Yeah, Abe Sapien, beautiful. Cool. We will take a short break and we will come back and talk about our other joint acquisition. That sounds like we had a child together. We really didn't. They're toys, similar toys.
That's when you know we're running close to the end, when we bring in Cousin Oliver.
Cousin Oliver!
If you like listening to podcasts, there's a good chance that you'd enjoy audiobooks as well. To make it easy for you, our sponsor Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial when you go to audibletrial.com/AFBlues. A book I'd like to recommend is Wool by author Hugh Howey. It's the first book in a trilogy which unfolds the mysterious story of The Silo, a subterranean city extending 144 stories beneath the surface. It's a captivating book that I had to listen to almost in one sitting because I couldn't turn it off. To get your copy of Wool for free and start your 30-day free trial, or find another book to start your Audible journey, just go to audibletrial.com/AFBlues.
As well as having similar toy interests in common, Eddie and I both have been gluttons for punishment in common when it comes to DC action figure lines. So while changes in scale and provider and line might scare some people away, not Eddie and I and our wallets. We, no matter what we say we're going to do, we end up buying them. And DC Essentials, which is the latest attempt at a universe-building line of DC characters for the DC collectibles, which we said we weren't going to buy. Well, I did. I don't know. Did you say you weren't going to buy it?
I might have actually gone on my angriest rants ever on this show. And now it's like one of our main features. I think we've been hitting these more regularly than Marvel Legends even.
We have, yeah. I think obviously if these were not great, we probably wouldn't have kept buying them, but we are enjoying them. And so we have the latest selection to share. We were kind of struggling with wave numbers beforehand because while these guys did come out together, they haven't all been coming out in waves. But if you are unsure, we're talking about the latest four figures in this line, which is Cheetah, Supergirl, and Cyborg Superman. And we are talking about the – now, are these 7-inch? Are they – what are they?
Yeah, they're starting to tiptoe into that 8-inch category. So they're very similar to, like, DC Direct of old scale.
Oh, well, that was never a thing. That was everything. that was people's main complaint with DC Direct. It was just like, just choose a scale. Choose an anything. So this is continuing the pattern of releasing hero-villain pairs. The Cyborg-Superman-Supergirl pairing is a bit okay. But, you know, still in the Superman family. And I think a noteworthy way for having three female characters out of four in it as well. Yay, progress. So where should we start? Packaging, it's the same.
Yeah.
are you saying that?
Once again, I don't know if you have yours with you. I'm a package thrower outer, so yeah. I do apologize to the creators who worked on it. They did actually include credits, but I did read them, but they have now slipped from my mind since opening these guys up.
Aren't these all Paul Harding?
No, I think there were three sculptors overall. So I think Paul did two of them. Maybe. I remember seeing some different names on these ones here. So
Sam Greenwell did Cheetah, and bear with me while I – the yes. Oh, it's okay. So Sam Greenwell did Cheetah, and I wonder if I'm hero and pair sculpted together or maybe not that logical.
I think Cyborg Superman – was separate, but that might also be maybe because this is something that I, as much as we love action figures, sometimes the behind the scenes are always hard to work out. So when you're crediting someone for the sculpt of a figure, if it's a retool, who does the credit go to? So because
that's maybe Paul Harding did.
Does that
the
make
box.
Sense?
Yeah. Sam Greenwell also did Supergirl. I'm just scrolling the internet.
Yeah. We need action figure IMDb.
Yes, Paul Harding did Wonder Woman, and Steve Kiwis, K-I-W-S, Kiwis, did Cyborg. There you go. I might just say all of them again and cut that crap out and say it like we know what the hell we're doing, because that was terrible. Okay. In 5, 4, 3. I am not a box keeper of these either, but I do have the sculpting info. So this is a range of sculptors. Sam Greenwell sculpted Cheetah and Supergirl. Jason Fabok, no, Paul Harding. Fuck, I can't even do it when I redo it. 5, 4, 3. I am not a box keeper of this line either, but I do have the sculpting info. Sam Greenwell did Supergirl and Cheetah. Paul Harding did Wonder Woman. And Steve Kiwus, K-I-W-U-S, did Cyborg Superman.
Very cool. I am always happy when creators get their credit.
Yes. DC Collectibles has done a great job of that. Like that, you know, since the rebrand, they've done sculpture credits for action figures. So as well they should. Well done. One of the things that I'm enjoying about this line is that, you know, it is it's not all just just the kind of similar Buck work, like, you know, one of the downsides of the Mattel Universe Classics line, you know, while it's, I think, going to be a hard line to beat as a universe builder, was, you know, the further that we went, the more that we had characters kind of shoehorned onto Bucks that probably really needed, you know, more, et cetera. And, you know, we are getting that here to a greater degree. The other piece too is just things like, you know, Supergirl and Wonder Woman not actually being exactly the same height, etc. You're getting a bit more of a just a variance in terms of sizes of figures, which I think is fantastic, and definitely more custom sculpted parts rather than a lot of it being done by paint. And so, you know, that is a huge plus. I had a feeling just from looking at some photos that Wonder Woman and Supergirl were not just exactly the same height, etc. And I'm still trying to work out exactly how that has been achieved. Like, is it actually a different buck, or is it that there are a couple of parts that are longer? Even like her Wonder Woman's biceps to me look bigger than Supergirl's paint.
Yeah, there is differencing, like with Supergirl. In fact, having a look here, so I was going to say her feet aren't as tall in terms of as Wonder Woman. She's got a little bit more heel going, but actually comparing the legs up close, the entire leg is completely different sculpt, even though they're similar. To sort of fit in brand-wise, like Wonder Woman's legs are more muscular than Supergirl's. Like, they are different pieces. So Wonder Woman's also has all the armor pieces on. Like, this is very much Wonder Woman's legs and designed for her, whereas Supergirl, she has, like, the painted-on boots, so it could potentially see more reuse of them. If I was a betting man, I would say that the plan would be to reuse or potentially, I don't have my ear or that with me. Supergirl could be a reuse out of a lot more of the Marionette and Harley pieces.
Yes.
Whereas Wonder Woman seems to have a lot of sculpting done more specifically for her.
Cheetah, again, obviously has got some custom sculpting when it comes to hands and feet, because she's got all the claws happening. Her other parts look pretty similar to Supergirl, and I'd say that they're probably on the same buck. The custom sculpting would have gone in there, and she
got a new butt.
Who got a new butt? Cheetah.
Cheetah.
Yeah. Oh, duh. Of course, she's got a hole in it. She's got a hole in her. one comment I do want to make about packaging is that these female characters came with something that I don't know that I've ever quite seen before in this way, is that they had they've all got long hair, and they had their long hair in little plastic shower caps, which was quite peculiar. And I had so much trouble actually getting my Cheetah out of her packaging that one of the front piece of her, the right hand front strand of her hair actually came off.
Oh, no.
But I can see, like, you can actually, I'll be able to actually glue it together, because you can actually see how it's put together. It's just obviously not been glued well in the first place, or but she really needs it. She looks kind of like she's shaved, you know, one side of her head without it, and the locks of hair frame her face beautifully. So when it was off, I was like, no, don't look at me. You know, like, we must fix this. She is pretty. I have got to say, the Cheetah sculpt and head sculpt, I think, is just
absolutely. Yeah, Cheetah is an absolute standout piece. This is one of those cases of just everything working on the figure. So it's a fantastic sculpt. The articulation points work well on her, and then the paint that's used on her is just perfectly done. I don't know how you could do this style of cheetah any better.
It is, I think it might be my favorite figure, although, I've got, I really love Supergirl as well. But just from the point of view of not having had ever a fantastic figure of this character, I think this is, in terms of the figures that have been out there, the Justice Cheetah, which was the first one I ever had, was a horrible, great looking thing, but just a horrible figure construction wise that could never stand up by itself. Was the posing sculpting was so stylized that it was kind of useless. And then the DC Universe ones of these were pretty, phoned in, just some, just paint, et cetera. So this to me is a thing of beauty, despite the fact that she keeps dropping one lock of her hair, which I know I'm going to have to wait till I get home to fix, but I just keep compulsively putting it back in because it looks so much better. I don't have a problem. What are you talking about? beautiful job, Sam Greenwell. And Sam Greenwell, I think Skull's beautiful, so both in action figure and thank you for this, Sam. It's beautiful. I really love her belt as well. It's kind of, it's got one, it's stuck to the figure, but still then you've got movement as well, and it's really clever. The tail is great as well. It not only has, it's actually got kind of two points of articulation because it's got the, where it joins to the stump on her butt. But then also the tail itself actually has a, a point of articulation. Oh, wait, it's got two. Oh my goodness. We're spoiled for tail articulation.
You can get lots of poses going, but it is one of those cases where she's only got the dots on the upper side. So
it can
look a little bit wonky depending on how you pose through, but it's pretty good. I do like, though, it does seem to have been taken into account. You can get it posed so the tail's sort of going in between her legs, which isn't to be rude, but if you need to lay her flat down on a table, her tail's not sticking out and going to break easy. it's more of a like, if I'm packing her away in a bin or something like that, that tail's not going to run as much risk of breaking as if it was just sticking out right.
Cool. Okay. Well, anything else you want to say about Cheetah before we move on? We just somehow landed on her?
Nope.
Beautiful. Well, we should move to her pair partner, Wonder Woman. This, I think, is a really lovely. It is I'm just struggling a bit with the her arms being a little bit bigger and maybe the elbow joint a bit bigger. Her arms, I find, a little bit awkward to pose. But
interesting.
Maybe
I don't have that at all. And, in fact, she's probably my favorite figure of the wave.
I think I've spent enough time trying to pose her.
Yeah, I really, really do dig the design. I mean, similar to Cheetah, like her head sculpt is just gorgeous, and this is just a case of the paint working really well to highlight what's great about the sculpt coming in. Like the way the makeup is done is really brilliant on her. It's beautiful. Not sort of over the top, but it's one of the most gorgeous looking female faces I think I've ever seen on an action figure, and just the bright blue eyes, similar to how we're talking about Hellboy, they just really popping and working there. I really like the way that a sort of silver gauntlets really sort of stand out against the rest of a colorful bodysuit, and a lot of brand new sculpting going on here. So armored boots, where you almost have the brown leather on the back part there. Sort of almost adds a little bit of believability to the costume. You could see how they would be wearable. Potentially that background part would be sort of more flexible, but a little more armored chins at the front. And I really like this rebirth costume on her, and it's been represented really well here.
You know, I think that a Wonder Woman action figure is actually a tricky thing to do well, because either – she's on a buck, which just makes her too small, or you know, her hair or head sculpt makes her look dorky. To kind of capture the power and the majesty of the character. And there's just something about this figure that I feel captures that. And I think it's partly because they actually have given her that little bit of extra height. That it's just kind of got a solid feel to it that really makes it feel like, yeah, this is a Wonder Woman. It's good stuff. I need to actually pose it a bit more and get the joints working and find the center of gravity, because I'm still kind of in that, like, I can't get her to stand up properly phase. But as a sculpt,
she's one that weirdly came with an accessory of a swappable hand, which I don't really quite understand the need for, but it's a sort of a more open hand, which I actually display her with using, and I've managed to get some great sculpts of hers. Like, she works really well with a flying stand, so you can have her sort of punching down with one hand but another hand sort of open behind her, and it's just very iconic Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I did wonder about that, because her lasso is sculpted onto the figure. It's not removable. So initially I thought, oh, maybe she's got this hand because she can hold her lasso. But so it was a bit of a, like, why did we need this? Maybe there was a plan there that didn't kind of come together, but it was too late to stop the extra hand out of. But an outstretched hand as opposed to a of holding peculiar as well. But it's still, like, as you said, from a posing point of view, having something just to do something a little bit different is actually not a bad at all. So super fine. The paint on mine is beautiful as well. Like the lines of all the gold trim around her skirt, and then everything on her bodice, the knee and elbow armbands, etc. That it's all really quite solid. Very, I like it. I like it a lot. Maybe this is, let's talk to the other. Well, let's talk to our other candidate too, which is Supergirl. I really quite like this version of her costume. I think it is a nice blend of different kind of elements. It's got that little Bronze Age call out with the style of the skirt, but then a more modern bodice and neckline. It's got the I love the wrist articulation on these, because it means that you really can get her into some nice kind of power poses with her fists up, like she's about to kind of fight. Cool as well, and I think this is a really solid head sculpt.
Yeah, it's an interesting head sculpt. I'm going to say I flip back and forth. There are times where I do really like it, and then from certain angles, I do sort of feel like, oh, I don't know if it feels very Supergirl for me, particularly in the hair. Okay. But it depends on the angle that I'm sort of looking at it at. And it could potentially be my figure. I think my eyes are painted slightly further apart than they're meant to be.
Oh, okay.
They don't necessarily match up with her eyebrows. Like, her eyebrows are coming in deeper into the forehead than her eyes are kind of back a bit. So that could also be throwing my face a little bit off center.
Okay, cool.
But it is still a gorgeous head sculpt.
Yeah.
And once again, like, the makeup's there, but it's not anything like you used to get figures with an attempt to do makeup on it, and it would look like when Homer had that makeup gun set to whore that he shot against the wall in that Simpsons episode. Like, it's just plastered big red lips and blushy cheeks and da da da. Whereas, like, between Cheetah, Wonder Woman, and Supergirl, they've all got different shades of lipstick on, which is very natural to what happens in the real world.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I see what you're saying about the face. I think the paint on my eyes is actually pretty good, but I can kind of see what you are saying. I think there's, I don't know, I love the way the hair is sculpted. I think, and I love I think I'm quite fond of this costume for her, so that's probably one reason why I like the figure.
This costume I do love, and I love the colouring of this costume too, like having it be that beautiful sky blue. There's something about that sky blue with the red and yellow S on it without any lines or cross through, that sort of very Christopher Reeves-esque era shield on the blue. Just really, I don't know what it is, but there's just something that connects to that shield on that blue that just hits my nostalgia point hard.
Okay, so that's the ladies of the wave, unless you had anything else you want to say about Supergirl.
The only thing I would say is I know I complained about the hair from the front, but I love it from the back. That, to me, is more Supergirl than looking at her front on is sort of that half cape flow and kick through and her hair coming down the back. That's weirdly, she's my figure of the wave from looking from behind.
Okay. Figure of the wave from the rear. Okay. So we've spoken about the ladies of the wave, and now we will talk about the thorn amongst the roses, Cyborg Superman.
Happy to get this character because, like, my first era of Superman I was reading was The Death of Superman. Not because I particularly knew it was a huge event comic at the time, but that was just the early 90s when I was sort of 6-7 years old and starting to read comics. So he was a big deal in the Superman comics around that period. And he's always sort of been an iconic Superman villain for me. But this figure, I think I would, was it you that I warned about this figure?
I got mine before I saw the warning, but I think I've lucked out. But you explain.
Yeah, the paintwork on this guy is rough. So mine in particular, that I was very fortunate. I got mine through All Star Comics because I'm an idiot who keeps forgetting to pre-order these. And Mitch at All Star was very kind in helping me out and getting these guys. So I would have them to be able to review. So I wasn't necessarily going to sort of send Cyborg Superman back. Once I sort of really took him out of the package and had a look, like my skin tone does not match up with where the metal part should be and where the skin tone should be. I've got sort of flesh coloring blotched in his hair as well as silver coloring blotched in his hair as well as down on the back of his neck, where the sort of blue of the shirt runs over the metal piece. That's not exactly painted in a way that matches up really well to the line. Like, this is very classic old school Gertie. And it is a shame because there is some really fantastic sculpt work going on here still.
There is. Look, I think I've lucked out in the paint department. I had a pick of some of these. Yeah, I was able to choose from at least two or three of each of these, and that there I do have two little flesh colored flecks on his head, but that's it. The rest of my paint is actually solid. But I can see, you know, what you're saying. There's actually a couple of little silver marks on the flesh color side of his neck as well, which I just kind of like. Okay, well, we can count all this as battle damage, right, coming apart. So, it is a shame that the paint on this is not perfect because I think the sculpt is actually fantastic.
So I've just sent you, if you have your phone device near, Scott, you a picture of mine to give you an idea of, yeah. So it could just be I might need a track.
Can I just clarify, just for the listening public, that when he says of mine, he means his Cyborg Superman action figure and nothing.
Check out my Hank Henshaw there.
I see a dog. I've got to say now, I really like mine. Mine is, you know, trimmed out quite well by comparison. I don't have that rough paint on the kind of edge between the flesh and the metal on this figure. So obviously not a great day, you know, when these were being done. I think the torso, the sculpt on the torso of this, the lines between the kind of half ripped off costume and the metallic bits, etc., I think are fantastic. That has been really beautifully done, and it's not just been done by paint; it's been done through the sculpt as well. You can actually kind of see the layer of clothing, and then see the metal skeleton, and it's excellent. And the paint on that itself is actually quite good. So I think it might have just been bad head paint.
Yeah, one thing I do really like is for a character that's meant to be, you know, a clone of Superman. For where it is Superman and not a robot, I do like that it matches up really well with the DC Essentials Superman. So it does look like this is the same character as that character we've already gotten earlier in the line.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, it is a. I think it's a great inclusion. I like it, as you said, from the perspective, both Cheetah and Cyber and Superman. From the perspective of, characters that aren't, automatic conclusions in lines, and for the wannabe universe builder, anything that is a little bit kind of outside of the A list, I think this is cool. I do think again this sculpt is fantastic. So, hopefully you've got a aberration rather than that's the standard. The little flecks of flesh on the top of the head of mine don't necessarily bode well for that, but we shall see. But the sculpt, great figure, articulation, fantastic. Definitely going to be fun to pose as well. Just a shame the paint is not. Cool.
But another out of four figures, 75% of them being really well done.
Yep.
Cyborg has, at least mine in particular, has some issues, but he's still got some very nice wins overall in terms of like the sculpting of his robotic parts and matching up to Superman, and even the actual color choices are really well. Like I like his still very classic Superman colors, but they're slightly darker, which gives him that bit more of a foreboding feel. Like it is some really nice stuff still going on with him. So overall, for four figures, three of them being really great wins and one being pretty good, that's a great wave, if it was a wave.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and again, I think the Cyborg Superman sculpt I think is actually quite exceptional. It is a it's worth, like, for me, being able to get a little bit of black paint and fix up these pieces to really see in glory, because it is a super fun figure. I the one thing I would say, sorry, a bit still going on about the sculpt, is we're missing a little bit of that crazed look from the more open jaw facial expression that we could have had. That would be the one thing I would do differently, is that it's probably not quite as nutso as I think of Cyborg Superman because of that, but super fun. And thank you, DC Collectibles, for keeping these going and for announcing more, and we'll be here to review them for as long as you make. And but that'd be a long time.
Mm.
Suckers. They say, ha-ha, we've got them roped in. Now, before we go, we have a bit of feedback to read out, and it is a new 5-star review from Apple Podcasts. Yay! And this is from Chicago Kevin 81. Now, does this mean, Kevin, that you are the 81st Kevin in Chicago? Does it mean that you are 81? That would be cool. Does it mean that you're the 81st Chicago Kevin on Apple Podcasts, and maybe you're not from Chicago at all? This is confusing. Please write to us and explain your use. In the meantime, you had nice things to say, so we still like you. My favorite podcast, hello, Thanks, Chicago Kevin 81. Have I mentioned how much more handsome you are than Chicago Kevin 81? Anyway, he says, my favorite podcast. It's interesting to hear about such a wide variety of collectibles that I otherwise wouldn't be exposed to. It's also neat to hear about the hobby from an international perspective. Are we internet? I guess we are.
Yeah, we have accents. And
you've got a...
That was... It's one of my, I believe it's a Stephen Fry story, where he was looking to do a Scottish accent, and someone said, "Oh, I've got this lady's number who's got the brilliant, great Scottish accent. You should give her a call and just let her talk on the phone, and she'd be wonderful for that style." So he gives her a call and says, "I'm really sorry to bother you, but." I just know, love how beautiful your accent is, and I just love to sit here and listen to you talk and really absorb your accent. And apparently she just screamed back down the phone, "I have been told that I have no accent." we all have accents.
We do. Well, I have become like my accent is like, no matter where I am, people don't think I'm from there because it's so modulated from, 21 years in the US, more than that here. Yeah. And so wherever I am in Australia, people are like, "Oh, you're not from here. Are you Scottish, Canadian, or whatever?" And then when I go back home, it's like, "Honey, I just love your accent. Where are you from?" So, but it's kind of exhausting always having to say, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Although where I grew up,
just start making it up so people.
Oh, I do. When I go back to the cute little small town that I grew up in the US, I could say it. I'd be like, "I'm from Zimbabwe, Fuder," and we exchange shells for money here. I assume that's cool. Well, thank you, Chicago Kevin 81. Long may you live, particularly if you are 81. We appreciate you, and we appreciate anyone who takes the time to go and write us a nice review in a place like Apple Podcasts, because it does help other people find our show, and we greatly appreciate it. And I am now about to appreciate sleep, and so I will say goodbye first, because that won't be great listening.
Sorry, before you say goodbye, I don't know if we've actually covered this on the podcast, but because iTunes is going away. Mm-hmm. But we're still around.
We are. Well, no, I said Apple Podcasts, not iTunes.
Yes.
Because it hasn't been iTunes for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, Apple Music, Apple Podcasts, Apple something else, Apple TV or mm-hmm. Apple Movies, yeah.
Spotify.
We're
on Podbean.
I'm not sure if that's there's places that you are where you don't have to kind of deliberately put it there. If so, we are on Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean. Is that a thing?
Yeah, Podbean's a thing. Podbean, I do quite. And I went to check to see if we're on Podbean. And do you know what I searched for in Podbean? I searched for Podbean.
How many results did you and your computer melted down? 10 billion results about Podbean on Podbean. Yeah. Very good. Well, if not, we'll try to be there.
I'll be there,
We're in places where all good podcasts and some dodgy podcasts. I just searched action podcasts.
Yeah. So.
I would also, for the record, just going back to the great, yes, we're on Podbean. There you go. reason 3010 why we need another intern. Just going back to cheetah hair falling out thing. For the record, if you do continue to compulsively put it back in and you let it fall out on brownish black hotel carpet, it can be a little bit hard to find. So before I go to bed, I'm going to be searching for it.
Yeah,
I really just should.
That's going to be fun. Go down to the front reception desk and be like, "I've lost my action figures bangs in the car."
Just one strand brown molded plastic about 3 centimeters in length
Cheetah Brown.
Oh, look, I found it. Oh, thank God. Okay. And now, of course, I'm going to compulsively put it back in again rather than actually just putting the damn thing away. Yeah. I'm sure, you know what, that would not be the weirdest request I've ever had.
No, they probably wouldn't even blink an eye at it.
Yeah.
Sydney Hotel. Cool.
Yeah. Very good. Okay, well, if we had anything useful to say, we've definitely said it. And so now the best thing that we can do is say goodbye. So goodbye, please come back.
Good journey.
Good night, nerds.
The Action Figure Blues podcast can be found on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and can be downloaded direct from actionfigureblues.com. Wherever you listen, please take a moment to leave a positive rating and review to help others find our show. Our theme music is by Robert Crandall. Our ad music is by Scott Holmes. The AFB logo is created by Nath Stones. We also have an active fan forum at afbforum.com where you can join with all the hosts of the podcast and many other collectors to discuss news, reviews, old lines, and trade and sell in a safe community. Please join us there. While you're at actionfigureblues.com, please check out our sponsors like Mike's Comics and Stuff, Loot Crate, Audible, and Gamefly. You can find us on Twitter at AFBlues, on Instagram at actionfigureblues, and on Facebook at facebook.com/actionfigureblues. Thanks for listening.
So, do you know, does this have a wave number, these essentials, or?
No, there were numbers on the side of the boxes around like 17 or so, but they don't really, because sometimes they come out like two at a time. Sometimes they're sort of weekly. These ones all hit in the same week.
Well, I guess we'll have to say yeah. Wonder Woman, Cheetah, Supergirl, and Cyborg. Cyborg. That's his weird kid cousin, Cyborg.
I'm a Cyborg, eh?
I'm a Cyborg, yeah.
An android from the Dutch.
No, it's his sweetie.